You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This morning, I'm going to talk about being empowered to encounter. Empowered to encounter God. Empowered to encounter Jesus. And I heard this incredible story. And you might ask me, what does it mean to be encountered by God? What does that word encounter mean? And it means to be unexpectedly to be faced with an experience. Do you know that God wants to experience you? Do you know that you can experience God this morning and He will encounter you? And sometimes it's unexpectedly that God will do this. But I heard this incredible story. And it was of this young man, and he was in a church meeting, and he saw the joy of the Lord come upon this preacher. It was Oral Roberts at the time, for some who might know him. And Oral Roberts, just at the beginning of the meeting, just started to wave to everybody. And all of a sudden, this young man, seeing that pastor wave to him, he just felt this incredible joy come over his being, that just the pastor waving made him laugh so much that he couldn't even believe this incredible joy that had taken over, that upon this preacher was the joy of the Lord. And suddenly, as a young man sitting in the seat listening to him preaching, he could feel that same joy of the Lord that was on the preacher tangibly coming upon him in that meeting. He said that same joy came upon me, and it was so contagious. And he just kept saying, Jesus is so real. Jesus is so real. I feel this incredible joy that I've never felt before, and it just feels so real. You see, this young man was encountering the presence of God, and it was mightily upon him, and he was experiencing this incredible joy. You know, in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 8, it actually talks about this joy. It says, you will greatly rejoice and delight with inexpressible and glorious joy, receiving as a result the outcome of your faith. You know, he was filled with God's presence, and he was experiencing this joy that the Bible talks about that we can have. He said he started to walk around and walk out of the meeting, and he was walking, and for some reason, he had never liked pine trees before, as they had those sticky pointer needles that would come out of them and they were sharp. But then all of a sudden, with this incredible joy of the Lord that he was experiencing, he did something really ridiculous. And he went up to that tree with all those sticky point needles, and he buried his face into it and rubbed his face into what was sharp, what was pointy, what was uncomfortable. And in that moment, with the joy of the Lord, it was the best sensation that his face had ever felt before. It just felt so good. And he smothered his face in it. It didn't feel sharp anymore or have that sting, but it felt incredibly soft. You know, still in this encounter with Jesus, God's presence and his joy, he took off running again. And instead of finding a place to bury his face into, he saw a tree. And he said, here is this tree. Now he goes, I've got something with these trees. And he ran up to this tree and he wrapped himself around the tree and slowly sunk down and began weeping, weeping from the bottom of his heart. He said, I just started weeping uncontrollably and I just couldn't stop. He then went on to explain the story of why this joy was so unexpected in his life, but it was so vital to him in this moment. He said his mother and his father had been divorced since he was 2 years old, and that his father had abused his mother. He explained that he never did have a real father and son relationship, as all these years he had been hating his father. He had been asking the Lord to help him to forgive him, as he had a real grudge against his father. And as he was asking the Lord to help him, he said, this little boy came out of the inside of me, and this little boy was hurting and crying out, crying for his father, longing for his father that he never had. He then stopped all of a sudden as he started to say, I was longing for my father. I was desiring for my father. And you see, as he's giving this testimony on the stage at his church before all these people, as soon as he said he was longing for his father, the presence of God mightily came upon him, so strong that he was overwhelmed that he couldn't even stand. Longing for his father, and right in that moment, his heavenly father, God his father, reached down from heaven and made himself known to him. You see, he stopped what he was saying, and this incredible power of God's transforming love came upon him mightily, that his whole direction of speech changed, and all he could say was, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, as the power of God came upon him. His whole face changed as unexpectedly God encounters him again with the power of God, and God's presence wrapped around him. His restoration, his healing power, his goodness and his compassion, his love and his mercy as a father reached down from heaven to a boy who was crying out for a father. Reached down and brought instant healing, his presence wrapping around him to the point that he could not stand. God was so real. He was completely healed. He was completely set free, because that's what the presence of God does. When God encounters you, you are transformed. You are healed. You are set free and restored. He moved from disliking the pine needles that were sharp, pointy, sticky needles. And I felt God say to us this morning that that's what the hurt and the pain that came from the loss of his father felt like to him. Pointy, sticky needles that he just didn't like the feeling of it around him. But suddenly, unexpectedly for him, God encountered this young man with his presence and his fullness of joy. And what had been stuck to him, what had been loss and pain and hurt, memories like sticky needles in his emotions, pointing into his heart, sticking pain into his skin and his mind, because of the presence of God, was pointy and sharp and sticking no longer, but it was this safe and beautiful feeling upon his face. It was an experience like he had never had before, because God was changing what was sharp and he was restoring it to what is something beautiful. The little boy coming out of him crying, hurting and weeping, longing for his lost father, was those needles of pain being pulled out of him. And all of a sudden, he starts talking about his heavenly father. Oh, father, oh, father, oh, father. And the presence of God came upon him. As soon as he does, God the Father wraps his presence of healing, goodness and restoration, love all around him, and he is overcome and cannot even stand. What happened? He met his heavenly father, and he was encountered by the living God, God Almighty. And needles of pain, I felt the Holy Spirit, are coming out of you today. What was a source of pain? What was a source of sharpness? What was a source of being uncomfortable? God, your Father, God Almighty, is healing us today. That what was sharp, what was sticky, what was pointing in, is going to become so comfortable, because God Almighty is going to turn around that pain, and he's going to bring an abundance of joy into your life. And it's that joy that you carry as a testimony to the city of Drysdale. It's that joy unspeakable that is wrapped in the presence of God that you carry within you, and that every person that you come into contact with you is going to know that the presence of God walks with you. Ephesians 3:19 says, then you will be empowered. You, church, are empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is our Father's love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. The fullness of God lives and dwells and resides within you this morning because of the Holy Spirit this morning. You have been empowered to encounter God's goodness. You have been empowered to experience His presence wrapping around you this morning. Now this morning, unexpectedly, you will be faced with an experience where God encounters you this day. And these are the prayers that I want to talk about in my message this morning, just some of the prayers that I've been praying for the pop-up services for us as a church. The first prayer is Jeremiah. Lord, you put your words in our mouths. Put your words in our mouths. Touch our lips, because when you touch our lips, you touch it with the fire of God. And it is fire, your power, your goodness, your mercy, your compassion that is upon our lips, that every time we speak to a person, God, it is your words, not our words. It is your source, not our source. It is your strength, not our weakness, that comes into contact with every person that we talk about. And that God, when we start speaking to people, those words are going to transform the lives of individuals, because we are speaking God's truth. We are speaking God's healing power, deliverance, and transformation. My next prayer is from Jacob. Lord, no matter what the wrestle is, we will not let you go until you bless us. We have to walk in your anointing. We have to walk in your ability. We have to walk in your blessing. And God, we are not going to let you go until you bless us. That you will change us in the natural. You will shape us. You will transform us. You will physically change us and identify this church, identify this group of people with a new name, because we're going into a new season. The third prayer that I've been praying is John, when he was on the island of Patmos. Lord, wrap me in your presence. Where in your presence we will see and experience visions in the supernatural. And my last prayer is Peter. I'm getting out of the boat of safety. Jesus, I've asked you to invite me to come, and you've told me that I can come. So I'm going to get out of what is predictable. I'm going to get out of what I know. I'm going to get out of my weakness, and I am going to walk on water, your authority, your word, because when you tell me to come, I will come. And I'm going to walk and step out of that boat of what I know. Why? Because I want to walk in something different. And I want it to be the words and the authority of Jesus Christ. Because when you walk on His word, when you stand on your word, you will never ever fail. No word shall fall to the ground, but it shall take form and new shape, says the Lord. Are you glad to be in church this morning? I've got my flat shoes on. You know what happens when I've got my flat shoes on? It's going to get rowdy in here. Jeremiah, we're going to start with this prayer of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 11 says it like this from the Amplified Bible. Jeremiah's call and commission. Verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Jeremiah, O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a young man. Isn't it so like us to declare our inadequacy straight? Jesus hasn't even finished the conversation with Jeremiah. God is still talking to Jeremiah mid-sentence, and already inadequacies break through and cut through the conversation. And I thought, God is going to bring such healing and deliverance to your inadequacies. You know why? Because in His words, in His kingdom, in His power, there is no inadequacies. So when you start to talk about them, He doesn't know what you're talking about, because all He knows about is His power that fills you, that transforms you, and that changes you. He wants there to be a transaction for your weakness for His strength this morning. And God is going to heal you and strengthen you, that it is not going to be your inadequacies that are going to be the first thing that are spoken to God, but it is going to be His word. But the Lord said to me, don't say, I am only a young man. God would say to you this morning, don't keep talking about your inadequacies. Don't make them greater than my words. Don't make them greater than the destiny that I have called you to. Don't make them greater than what I have consecrated and set apart you to. Because what I have set apart to you, I will deliver you. And God says, don't make your inadequacies bigger than His words. Don't talk about them. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. You know, God doesn't speak that language of inadequacy. He speaks the language of the mighty supply of His power. And He is your supply this morning. Do not be afraid of them or their hostile faces, for I am with you always to protect you and deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out His hand and He touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, hear me. I have put my words in your mouth. The Holy Spirit will teach you this morning. You know, the incredible power that comes through speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. If you wanted the Holy Spirit to teach you how God speaks, spend time in speaking in tongues. It is the doorway to the language of heaven. And God wants to supply you with His power this morning. The Lord stretched out His hand. He wants to touch your lips this morning. It says that when He touched Jeremiah's lips, fire came upon his lips. You know what that fire was? The word of God in Jeremiah's mouth. That when the fire of God goes forth and speaks, it'll warm the coldest heart. Because that's what the fire of God does. It makes cold things warm. The Holy Spirit will teach you that you can accomplish anything through the Word of God, that you will bring the suddenlies, you will bring the unexpectedly to people's lives, and it will come with such irresistibility, because that's what the Word of the Lord does. It changes heart. It grabs your attention. It shows His goodness this morning. You know, this, when the Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, it said it put him on his feet and he could stand. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, this is not a physical standing where suddenly you can just get up and stand in a conversation. This is a spiritual standing that the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen you with supernatural courage to speak the word of the Lord that He gives you, that you're not tentative and moving back when you know the Holy Spirit is causing you to go forward with that spoken word. But when the Holy Spirit touches your lips, fire will come upon your lips and it will be supernatural courage to stand in your spirit and speak the word of the Lord that He has given to you. God said to Jeremiah, verse 10, see, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to uproot and break down the idolatry, to uproot and break down the sin, to uproot and break down the depression, to uproot and break down the strongholds that are over Drysdale, over families, over lives, to destroy, to overthrow, but to build and to plant, because when they hear the good news of the gospel, they shall be planted in the church of God, and they will be rising and growing as plants that have been watered by the Lord. Verse 11 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I filled your mouth with my words. You have my fire to spiritually stand and with supernatural courage to give this word. Now, what is it that you see over these people? What is it that I'm showing you? What is it that you see? The word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the branch of an almond tree. And here's our promise this morning, Gateway Church. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. We never came up with the idea to do a pop-up service. It was God speaking to us saying, I want to bring the good news of the gospel to Armstrong Creek, to Lara, to Drysdale, to Ocean Grove, where the message is not there. But you this morning, church, it's you that he's wanting to touch your lips. It's you that he's wanting to put his word into your mouth. And it's his fire and his power and his supply that's going to cause you to stand and supernatural courage to speak the word of the Lord with the good news of the gospel, and it's going to cause you to see his people, to see the depressed, to see the heartbroken, to see the lost, to see them as our Father really sees them. If we had have looked at that young man putting his face into needles, if we had have looked at that young man hugging a tree and then walked off with our perception, we would have misunderstood the work of the Lord. But our Heavenly Father sees the torment that's going on in a person's heart, and he knows how to heal them. And God wants to cause your eyes to see as the Father sees, to see the heartbroken, to see the lost, to see the depressed. Why? Because you have the word of the Lord to bring healing and restoration. I'm going to smile at everybody now. I'm going to get all my smiles in just in this moment. I remember quite a few years ago, and I remember thinking about how big my inadequacies were in stepping out for God. And I was having a meeting one night just with some young people, and I felt God say to me when I was praying, I want you to pray for the girl with the bad arm. And I'm like, oh, okay, pray for the girl with the bad arm. Oh, that's fairly easy, you know. Okay, we'll do that, God. And anyway, when everybody was coming in and it was time to come in, I saw this girl with plaster from the tips right up to the edge here. There was all pins going in here. Everything was linked, and she was walking in to the meeting like this, and I went, that's not the bad arm. I can tell you right now, God, that is not the bad arm. Somebody's twisted their arm. It's over there without plaster. And I knew straight away God was saying, that's the bad arm. I said, that's not a bad arm. That's a tragic arm. Like, you've got to be a little bit clearer in what you're saying to me, God. And so we have the meeting, and we go through everything, and I'm like, okay, it's my time now, and I've got to supernaturally stand up here, and all I can sense is my inadequacy, and but I'm too young, and I haven't really prayed for people enough, and I don't know if anything's going to happen here, but upon your word, even though my inadequacies are screaming at me, even though I don't feel that I have enough faith, in my weakness, you are strong. And so in my obedience to my love for you, I'm going to step out beyond what I see as my inadequacies, and I'm going to do what you've told me to do. And so I started to pray for her arm, and she said, I feel this heat going through my arm. I don't know what it is. And I thought, well, maybe because she's a teenager, she's just trying to make me feel better in this moment. And she's like, but I can feel this heat. I can feel something going up and down my arm. And I said, well, okay, well, we've prayed for you. Just go home and see what happens the next time you go to the doctor's, not really thinking, had it worked? And then a couple of days later, I get a phone call from her mum saying they went back to the doctors, and it was completely healed. The whole cast came off. The whole pins came out. And I just thought, wow, God, you're real. You're real. You're real. That's what he wants to do for us in this next season. He wants you to be so blown away with his miracle working power as you step out with his words that He has touched your lips with. It's not your words. It's not your instructions. It's His words. It's His power. It's His fire. And He has to back up His words with signs and wonders. Why? Because that's who He is. He is truth. His word does not fail. It will accomplish all that it's set out to do. And that's what happens when the word of the Lord comes upon your lips and fire and His power touches people. And you will stand up spiritually in supernatural courage, and you will see arms being healed. You will see cancers being healed. You will see sickness being healed, because that's the realms this church is moving into, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. My next prayer was Genesis 32 to 22 to 31 with Jacob. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. You know, the Jabbok, that word, it actually means twisting. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, so Jacob was left alone. You know, the reason why Jacob actually isolated himself in this moment is that he needed to have an encounter with God. His heart was heavy. He was meeting his brother Esau the next day, and he didn't know whether he was going to be greeted and received warmly or turned away, because he had heard that 400 soldiers were coming with his brother Esau to meet him. And anxiousness and worry and terror came upon Jacob, thinking, am I going to be received by my brother, or are we going to be annihilated? My wives, my children, my family, my servants, are we going to be annihilated tomorrow, or are we going to be received? So he went to God, God who had been with him so many times in those nighttime terrors, in those daytime traumas, and he cried his heart out to God and said, God, you need to encounter me. You need to encounter me. I need to be alone to seek you. You have to arm me with your confidence that I know so well. And there has to be a breaking between my torment and your confidence, a breaking between my weakness and your strength, a breaking between my lack and source of power to your great almighty power that created the heavens and earth. There has to be a breaking in the natural to the supernatural. And that's what God is speaking to us about, a church. There is a breaking that is coming upon your hearts. There is a breaking that is coming upon this church. There is a breaking that's happening in the supernatural realm, a breaking from the natural to who you really are in the supernatural and who He's created you to be. You are fierce with God's word this morning. Fire of the Almighty God is upon your words this morning. As we wrestle with Him, when terror comes our way, as we wrestle with Him, we are wrestling for the break between the natural and the supernatural. Do you need the supernatural this morning? Do you desire the supernatural? Do you desire the breaking between the natural and the power of God this morning? Because that's what we're going after. There has to be a breaking, like a physical sense from night to day. You see it. God says in His word, I will surprise you with love at daybreak. Jacob needed to be surprised with God's love when there was changing from the night to daybreak. And it says, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go. God, I will not let you go until you bless us. I cannot walk into Drysdale without your anointing. I cannot walk into Drysdale without your truth. I cannot walk into Drysdale without your power. It's your power that the people are longing for and searching for. It's not my words. It's not what I can do in the natural. God, they're looking for you. They're looking for truth. They're looking for God's power to move. As I was praying this morning, I was pouring out my heart to God and I was crying and I said, God, they don't want me. They want you this morning. You have to come to our church. You have to be in our service. Your power has to transform the congregation. They don't want me, God. They're not looking for me. They're not looking for my words. They're looking for your words. Drysdale's hearts are crying out for truth. For miracle working power. Remember what Gideon said. Where is the power that our fathers and our ancestors talked about? The power of God is in you, but you have to wrestle until you get the breaking between what is natural and what God intended you to have is the supernatural. That every conversation brings transformation. That when you lay hands on the sick, they shall be delivered. They shall be set free. They shall be healed. They're not looking for us. They're looking for God in us. And we have to wrestle and wrestle until you get what it is that you're desiring in the supernatural realm. If you don't have enough power, wrestle for it until you get it. If you don't have enough prophecy and prophetic words and truth and direction, wrestle. Wrestle until you get your blessing. Wrestle until you see a breaking of the natural and you start to walk in the supernatural. And I'm talking about supernatural courage. I'm talking about words and actions that transform cities. I'm not looking for just people to be changed. I'm looking for crime rates to go down. I'm looking for a whole city to be transformed. When I started saying and praying to God what I'm going for, I didn't have a little list. I've got a big list and I'm coming after you. I am coming after you. He knows I'm third child. Third child, they go after things. And they don't stop and they're annoying and they're persistent and they don't stop. I've got a third child. He's not in the room, so it's okay. You have to be persistent. You can't go by what you see in the natural. The natural will lie to you, but God will never lie because his truth does not fail. You will get what you go after this morning. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob, he answered. Then the man saying, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. That is our promise this morning. If you wrestle until you see that breaking between the natural and the supernatural, God will completely transform your identity. How people know you, how you even know yourself, God will transform you into a completely different person, just like Jacob was transformed. And I want us, when he says here, he calls this place Peniel, it's the face of God, because there he had seen the appearance of God and obtained the favor of God. Jacob now feels strong. No longer does he feel weak. No longer does he feel anxious. No longer does he feel that terror of seeing Esau, his brother. Now he feels completely strengthened by God, ready to go out the next day, knowing that the battle is the Lord's. If I just keep my eyes upon him, the battle is the Lord's this morning. I don't go to Drysdale by myself. We don't go and do this pop-up service by ourselves. It is God Almighty who has given us this direction and instruction. He is going into battle for us as we keep our eyes on him, and he is going to come and bring transformation. But it is our job to wrestle to see what he's called us to be. Thirdly, John, Revelation 1, 9 to 11. I, John, your brother and companion, sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance which are in Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos, banished on account of my witnessing to the word of God and the testimony, the proof, the evidence for Jesus Christ. But I love what John said. Here I am on this exiled on this isle. No one around me in this present moment. I've been exiled here. It was a very small island with a very small population, but he's in this place, exiled and alone for spreading the good news of the gospel. But I love what it says. I was in the Spirit. Even though I'd been cast aside, even though I'd been banished from my community, even though I was ripped away from what I knew, I was in the Spirit of the Lord and I was wrapped in His power. I was wrapped in His presence. And that's what I've been praying over us as a church. God, wrap us in your presence. Wrap us in your power. No matter what tribulation will come our way. You will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation. We will have trouble as we enter into strongholds that are not of God yet. But God wants to wrap us in His power. I was in the Spirit, wrapped in His power on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice like the calling of a war trumpet saying, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the first, I am the last. I think it's incredible that everything that I'm reading out, there's always this unbelievable conclusion where you get to meet God face to face, where you get to hear His words over your life because He wants to transform us this morning. This voice to John came unexpectedly and suddenly to fix his attention, yielded to God. I feel this so strongly that I've been praying, God, I yield myself to you. I yield myself to what it is that you want to do. I am your vessel. I am your servant. You are the treasure inside my vessel. God, I yield myself to you. What does it mean to yield? It means to let God take over. Let God be in control over your life. And lastly, Peter, Matthew 14, 22 to 33 says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. My prayer has been that we get out of the boat. God has given us this marvelous promise that you will have the territory of Geelong. Think about what God is giving you, church. God will give you the territory of Geelong. But in order for you to experience it, in order for you to walk in it, in order for you to know about it, you need to get out of the boat, out of what is predictable, out of what is safe, out of what you know. Because when God calls you, just like He called Jeremiah, it was so what he didn't know. It wasn't comfortable. He didn't want to speak all those things to hundreds of people, knowing the idolatry that they were in. They were so far away from God. Their hearts were so hard and cold. But inside Jeremiah's mouth was the fire of God that could warm any cold heart. But he had to respond. God is calling us, church. I'm hearing the stories over and over again that God is calling you into the secret place where you might know His power and behold His glory. He is calling you, but it's going to take this moment where there's a breaking between the natural and the supernatural. Am I going to stay in the boat? You asked him to call you. You asked him to use you. Now he's saying to you, so come. Come to me. Come to me. Step out of what you know. Step out of what is safe and come to me. Because when you come to me, you walk on my authority and not your word. These are my words that give people a hope and a future. I'm the Savior. I'm the Restorer. I'm the Deliverer. And when you get out of the boat and walk onto the water, you walk on my deliverance. You walk on my salvation. You walk on my restoration. But God is asking you this morning, will you get out of the boat? And there's a question that I want to ask you this morning. Do you want me as your pastor? Do you want me to stay in the boat? Do you want me to stay with what's familiar, with what's comfortable to everybody, what's predictable? Do you want your pastor to stay in the boat, or do you want Pastor Lee and myself, do you want us to get out of the boat and do everything that God has put in us? So I'm going to ask you a question. As your pastors, do we want you to stay in the boat? I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, I pray for us, Lord, that there's a decision right in this moment as we are alone with you, our Father, our mighty God, that there's going to be a wrestling between what is the natural of what we know and what is the supernatural, the spiritual of what you are inviting us to come to walk into. We're not walking onto our own strength. It's your strength. We're not walking onto our own restoration. It's your restoration. We're not walking out with our resources or our giftings or our power. God, we are nothing without you. But you've invited this church to get out of the boat and to walk on water, to see the power and the deliverance of God come to Drysdale, come to Ocean Grove, come to Armstrong Creek, come to Lara. You want to change and transform not only our lives, but the lives of the families of the city of Geelong. And you're asking every one of us, will you get out of the boat? You know, if you're in this place today, and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you can actually invite Jesus to come and make your heart his home, where Jesus can come and dwell and live and reside within you, that you never have to walk alone again. Because Jesus, 2,000 years ago, died on a cross for your sins so that we would no longer be separated from a loving Father. He was sent to that cross and he yielded himself to that cross. Why? For a dying world that he loved and he wanted to save and he wanted to bring a hope and a future to you. And if you're in this place this morning and you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you don't know Jesus personally, he wants to make your heart his home. You see, he didn't just stay on that cross. He didn't just stay there dead. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead because of the power of God that raised him. And that's the same power. The same power that wants to live and dwell and reside within you. It's your strength to your weakness. It's your power to your lack. It's your love to your torment. God is everything, and he loved you so much that he sent his only son to this earth to die for you, to be buried and rise again 3 days later. God loves you so much this morning. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say to me, Pastor Naomi, I don't have Jesus in my heart. I don't have this relationship that I'm seeing people here experiencing. I can't hear the voice of God. Let me tell you, my friend, today, Jesus wants to make your heart his home. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your heart, mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That means no longer separated. You have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place this morning and you don't have Jesus in your heart and you want to have this relationship with him, I just want you to indicate with me to raise your hand that I can pray with you in a moment. As a church, we pray together, and I would love to include you in this prayer. If that's you this morning and you want Jesus as your Savior, just raise your hand this morning. You may be watching online, and in your home right now, you might be needing a Savior. You might be needing a Restorer. Let me tell you, it is your day. Because Jesus has come to save you, to no longer separate himself from you, but to be joined to you as one. It means you're joined to his strength. You're joined to his goodness. You're joined to his love. You're joined to him. And if that's you this morning, we're going to pray a prayer as a church, and I would love you to invite you into this prayer that you can pray it too, and Jesus Christ will come and make your heart his home this morning. Let's say this all together. Dear Jesus, we accept you as our Lord and our Savior. We repent of our sins today, and we turn to you that you will make our hearts your home. Father God, this morning, we openly declare that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths this morning that Jesus Christ, you've been raised from the dead. And because of this, we will be saved. We turn to you, Jesus. Amen. Father, I just pray for every single person that has made that decision this morning to make their hearts your home. Jesus, what an incredible day that you get to come and live inside of them. Your goodness, your mercy, your compassion, your salvation, no longer to be separated from them again, but you will be walking with them on a daily basis where they can hear your voice, where they can know your heart, where they can know what it means to walk alongside a Savior that gives them the hope and the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray your blessing.